Today's scripture is read from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 33-36. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays.
So I have no real memory of the Rapunzel story as a child. As I said, all I remember is the request, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. So I knew she was a girl with long hair. I don't even remember if she was a princess or not, but I do remember that she was in a tall tower that would obviously require her long hair to be let down. Do you guys remember much about that story? Okay, so some of you do. So it just wasn't one of my usual bedtime stories, but I started to think about it, and I think the reason why it wasn't so familiar to me is because Disney didn't turn it into a film until 7 years ago in 2010. But actually, even then, it didn't flash on my radar. I didn't have a kid then, so maybe that's why. But I also think that I was a little turned off by all that hair. You know, the name seemed apt, Tangled. I imagine this tangled mess of long, long hair. Every time I pictured it dragging on the ground behind her, I just give a little shiver. But I have to admit that it always looked gorgeous, glamorous, well-conditioned, gleaming. It never looked like it got tangled, like I imagined it would, or like the name suggests. But for me, I just really wasn't all that interested in that girl with long, blonde hair, no matter how well she maintained that mane. So I really didn't know anything about the film until last fall on our Alaskan cruise when we rented the movie and Molly and I watched it in our room. Well, I fell in love with the music and actually was quite impressed by the storyline. This is Disney's 50th feature film, and the storytelling, music, and beautiful animation demonstrates their experience and expertise in their craft. With Alan Menken's lead on music, there's a direct lineage right back to The Little Mermaid and all those movies that followed in the 1990s. They revived Disney, really, for so many of us. They had a string of hits, and this film, with that direct lineage, proved no different. It was nominated for Academy Awards, even won a Grammy for its music. While this is a princess story, and our main character is trapped in a tower, she's not waiting for a prince to rescue her. In fact, she doesn't even know she needs rescuing. We watch as Rapunzel's character grows in strength, as she learns what she's capable of doing and being. But she's never been a helpless little fawn waiting for some guy to come and save her and change the course of her life. In fact, when she does meet Flynn Rider, she takes him out. Yep, she does. She actually knocks him out with the frying pan. She's tough. She might not have realized what she was capable of, but in reality, she's stronger than she thinks. And her self-assurance grows as her adventure unfolds. The story begins with the legend of a flower with healing powers. Grown from a single drop from heaven, this flower had the power to heal and rejuvenate. Immediately, we are taken to the palace and Rapunzel's birth, or rather, just before. Her mother, the queen, is in labor, but something has gone terribly wrong. She'll die unless she gets help. So the king commands everybody in the kingdom to look for something that can save his wife and baby. Aware of the legend of the flower with the healing power, the whole kingdom went off in search for it. As it turns out, the legend proved true. One old woman, Mother Gothel, had been hoarding that flower to keep herself eternally youthful, stealthily hiding it after each use. Fortunately, the search party uncovered the flower, and to Gothel's horror, they uprooted the plant and quickly returned to the castle and infused it for the queen to save mother and baby. So, just after the baby's birth, Gothel breaks into the castle, intent on stealing that flower. But seeing it's no longer there, she realizes that the baby's hair is unusually long and golden, and the power of the flower must now reside in the girl's hair. So she decides she's just gonna cut a little bit of it to use to rejuvenate herself. But instantly, the hair withers in her hand and turns a dark brown on baby Rapunzel's head. So she realizes that the only hope she has of staying alive forever is stealing the baby. So she kidnaps Rapunzel and raises her as her own daughter, isolated in a tower. Her parents, of course, are distraught with grief. But tragically, they were never able to find her. Of course, they never forgot her, and they never fully gave up hope. Each year, they would send a lantern up into the sky on her birthday. Soon, the whole kingdom would join in this ritual, lighting the night with lanterns. Now, Tangled is a complex film with layers, like tangled hair, that we must unravel. It deals with the sophisticated topic of emotional abuse as it explores the control Mother Gothel has over Rapunzel. You see, I mentioned this earlier. Rapunzel never waits for a prince to save her because Rapunzel never realizes she's trapped. She actually believes that Gothel is her mother and she loves her. Gothel appears to also love Rapunzel. And maybe she does. That's what's so sickening about emotional abuse and codependency. Gothel manipulates Rapunzel so that she believes that life beyond the tower is dangerous, that it's a scary world out there, that men have fangs, and everyone she meets will hurt her. When her only friend, Pascal, the chameleon, suggests that they leave the tower, she doesn't go running, yes, let's do it, isn't too afraid to go. No, she laughs, responding, I don't think so. I like it here, and so do you. And she really does like her life in the tower. Sure, she cleans the whole place daily, but as we talked about this morning, she also reads her books and paints and sings and dances and bakes and makes candles and does all sorts of things while playing with her little friend, Pascal. She keeps herself occupied, and she never complains. In fact, the only thing that has her wishing to leave is to see the lights a little closer. She's mesmerized that each year on her birthday, the lights appear, and she can't help but wonder why. Eagerly, she dreams of seeing those lights up close to be a part of the magic and experience that joy. It's the one thing she ever desired, the only one real thing she ever asked for. But Mother Gothel is prepared for her request. She doesn't ever use force, and she's rarely outright mean, though her comments are always degrading, putting herself first and putting Rapunzel down. Of course, she's perfected emotional abuse, and she backs off all of her insults by explaining, "Oh, I'm just kidding, darling," and laughs it off as if it's only a joke. Anyone who has ever been in an unhealthy relationship knows that game. Maybe even falls for it, believing that that loved one isn't so awful, doesn't mean the things they say, actually means well, has a good heart, and loves us deeply. They just don't know how to show it. How many times have you heard or maybe even said that? Rapunzel is so accustomed to her mother's ways, she's never even realized that Mother Gothel is actually manipulating her. That besides the battery of insults, there's a deeper purpose: to control her. This type of mind control is among the most insidious because there are no physical bruises. There are no ropes that bind her. She herself never even protests. Rapunzel doesn't believe she's being abused, and if someone were to point it out, likely she would jump to the defense of her mother. So far in denial is she has no idea she's being played. After all, she could leave the tower if she wanted. She has the means, just a swing on her hair, and she's on the ground. Her mother is gone often enough. There's no physical bonds keeping her tied down. But Gothel's figured out the very best way to imprison someone is not physically, but mentally. She has bound her mind so that the moment it enters Rapunzel's thoughts to leave, she's either too scared or too guilty to ever follow through. Now, as I contemplated this film, I thought this has got to be the most sophisticated concept I've ever seen Disney approach. Now, you think about Cinderella. Her stepmother is mean, forces her into slave labor, and Cinderella knows it's not her real mother. So she dreams of leaving her life for the life of a princess. Of course she does. But Rapunzel doesn't even question her identity. She loves her mother and willingly obeys her, despite disappointment and insults. She questions only herself and her own motivations and desires. She thinks her mother is doing what's best for her. Because after all, mother knows best. And she tells her that often. So mother doesn't even have to be present to control her. She spent 18 years molding her, shaping her, causing her to question her own motivations, to create a world so filled with fear that Rapunzel would never want to leave her tower. And the moment she did want to leave, she's immediately filled with guilt and remorse, knowing it would kill her mother, and thus rejecting any actual thought of leaving. And this is perhaps why this film is so critically important for us to embrace. I don't know if children can pick up on the insults that are hurled one after the other, mostly subtly camouflaged in jokes, but always pointedly intended to leave a mark. I don't know if kids can sense that mind control, if the manipulation gives them chills, or if they even buy into it and feel sorry for this identity thief slash kidnapper who impersonates Rapunzel's mother. I have to admit it, there are times when I feel sorry for her, even as I'm angry with her for manipulating this poor girl. That's how insidious it all is. That's why it works on so many people, be it a parent-child relationship or a romantic one, or even one amongst friends. Codependency is bad news. Trust me, I know. I was once in a relationship where I loved a man, but he definitely wasn't good for me. He was an alcoholic with recovery nowhere on the horizon. He used to say, "Rehab is for quitters." Unlike Rapunzel, I probably knew I should get out. But I kept hanging on. Things got bad, but they never seemed to get bad enough. Just when I was about to walk, he'd do something sweet, and the chains would tighten. It took a huge disappointment for me to finally break free. What was so frustrating about this is that I always saw myself as strong and smart. And yet somehow I stayed in this relationship, a very stupid thing to do. And I knew that. But something kept holding me back. Until one day, finally, it didn't. And that's when transformation takes place. This is a story of transformation. In fact, nearly every character, with the exception of Mother Gothel, unfortunately, experiences a transformation. God help it, I hope she does sometime after the film. Whether it's Flynn Rider himself, who cops to his real name, less cool but all the more authentic, Eugene, or the big thugs in the bar, each who have their own dreams, from thug to concert pianist. Those of us who were here early got that played out this morning. Or even the horse, Maximus, who has a change of heart and goes from hunting down Flynn Rider slash Eugene to being his greatest ally. But the most significant transformation is clearly Rapunzel's. It doesn't come all at once, but in stages, as she is drawn to the light, taking one step after another towards freedom and ultimately her true identity. She first left the tower defiantly, as though to prove to her mother she could handle life outside the tower, despite her own misgivings. But she'd at least proven to herself that she had the strength by taking down that intruder. The further she got from the tower, the more she realized there was life outside of it. Her eyes opened to the world, her feet on fresh grass, dancing in the square, interacting with children, and falling in love with Eugene. Sometimes we think we have a handle on life. And maybe we do. We get our small world and our role in it. And we never even think of dreaming that our world might expand to go beyond that world. But Rapunzel did dream. And she followed that dream. And she realized that life wasn't as scary as she thought it would be. The world was big, but it wasn't evil. There was life beyond the tower, and she wanted to live it. She risked the safety of leaving what she knew. She risked disappointing her mother, and in doing so, she found herself. Rapunzel was literally following the light. She was in search of the lights that danced in the night sky, and in following the light, she finally saw it. And everything changed. The world had somehow shifted. All at once, everything is different. Now, of course, at one level, this is a love story. And the light is about that flicker of flame that burned between Rapunzel and Eugene. But actually, that's only a part of the story. Now, Eugene's transformation was taking place as he realized he could trust someone besides himself, and that caring for someone selflessly was worth losing out on riches or fessing up to his bad deeds and the risk of being rejected for the payoff of being authentic. Rapunzel is coming to terms with her own identity. So falling for him is only a part of the story. It's secondary. She's following the light to discover who she really is. That song at first is about their budding romance, but we who seek to think theologically can see the deeper meaning. Seeing the light meant breaking through the darkness, experiencing the light of truth, that the light ultimately leads us to deeper understand ourselves and perhaps also the power and the strength that lies within. God. When we do, everything shifts. The world is new. Now, of course, Mother Gothel couldn't let hold of that grasp, and so she plots to get Eugene out of the picture and once again control Rapunzel. Playing the overprotective mother, she says, "Oh, I told you so. You'd get hurt and taken advantage of out there, and all I wanted to do was keep you safe." So she ushers her back to the tower to resume their life together, confident she has gotten her control back now that she's sullied Flynn's name and pulled Rapunzel back to the tower. She'd comfort Rapunzel right back into submission. But things are not the way they were. Something has changed. Rapunzel has seen the light, and it all becomes clear. Watch this scene.
Hey, it never happened. Now, know how I hate the mumbling. I am the lost princess, aren't I? Did I mumble, Mother? Or should I even call you that? Oh, Rapunzel, do you even hear yourself? Why would you ask such a ridiculous question? It was you! It was all you! Everything I did was to protect you. Rapunzel, I spent my entire life hiding from people who would use me for my power. Rapunzel, when I should have been hiding from you. Where will you go? He won't be there for you. What did you do to him? That criminal is to be hanged for his crimes. No, it's all right. Listen to me. All of this is as it should be. No! You were wrong about the world, and you were wrong about me, and I will never let you use my hair again!
You're going to have to watch it to see what happens next. But as you can see, Rapunzel realizes that she is the lost princess. And her life has been a lie, manipulated by a greedy woman who thought only of herself. But that's not all she realizes. There's something even deeper. See, all the time that she had been searching for the light, she figures out the light was in her. She was the light. It wasn't outside of her. It wasn't even in her hair, as beautiful and powerful as it seemed to be. No. All this time, she thought it was external. But the truth was, the light was in her. She had it all along. It wasn't the tower that kept her safe, or the flower that gave her the power, or her long golden hair. The light was in her. That's what strengthened her. That's what's empowered her. That is what gave her life. It was she who shined. We're always looking outside of ourselves for some other answer, for some quick fix or magic bullet, something that will give us what we want and turn us into who we want to be. That, or we're afraid of stepping too far out of our comfort zones. Maybe because of the very reality that we like our world small, so we can keep control of everything in it. But Rapunzel had everything she needed in her. She had the power to leave the oppressive relationship. She had the power to step outside her prison walls. She had the power to seek love and be loved. She had it all in her. The light was in her. And the light, need I spell it out, is God. It's the gospel writer John's favorite metaphor. God is light, and God is in the world. God is even in us. Rapunzel's story is unique, but she's not the only one drawn to the light. Seek it. Follow it. Find it. And then live it. Because the light shines in you. So let it shine. In all its brilliance, let it shine. Animate your faith. Amen.